I don't want to beg for attention while at the same time I don't want to be unnoticed. Deep down, I know that what I do matters. However, what I experience often feels more like being taken for granted. Hello, welcome back everyone to another episode of the Wife Like Me podcast with myself, Amanda Davison, and Kelly Brinkman. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, fan of you, girl. Thanks for joining us, wives.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be so fun. We were just talking about the shirt that Kelly has on, that her kids love it.
No, they hate it. So I thought I'd wear it all for you.
So because
I'd wear it on a girlfriend's night. I don't know. They just don't like it. I'm not really going to give you a full show. I mean, it's, as you said, high neck, but they just think that it shows a little too much in this region. I don't know.
It's so I love that shirt. I don't know. I think that's so funny. Kids are so funny.
I know they are. Next episode, I'll wear the other one they hate.
Okay, do it, do it, do it. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. Wear it.
Good deal.
Hey,
see, what I was really trying to do is get admiration without asking for it, is what I was trying to do. What's the title of our podcast today that we're talking about with Joy Ballard? So how to get admiration without asking for it. Wear a shirt your family hates.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We, Kelly and I, feel like Joy read our journal.
I know. Joy.
Thanks, Joy, for breaking into our house and reading our journals.
Right. We were trying to stuff it all underneath our bed, but since you brought it up, it's terrific, girl. Sorry. Sarcasm is like our love language, but it's amazing. So thank you for bringing so many of these things to light. These are so true for all of us.
Yeah, this hurts a little bit, you know? Sometimes they hurt in they're good hard, but this is this conversation, this topic is like legit. It's legit for anyone. But I think specifically those of us who feel like what we do is unseen, who we are maybe is unseen. And Joy just gets right to it. And she like pulls it all out. And I think I might like read some of it because it's just so good. She starts by saying, and again, her blog post is linked in the show notes, so you can go and read the whole thing. But she said, there's something really uncomfortable about seeming to be needy, like the neediness that I have. She said, I don't want to beg for attention while at the same time I don't want to be unnoticed. Deep down, I know that what I do matters. Beyond feeding people, doing their laundry, and organizing our schedule, I know these tasks are just a practical part of the deeper, meaningful work I'm called to do. Relational challenges of being a wife and a mother require an incredible amount of courage and effort. However, what I experience often feels more like being taken for granted than admired. And I mean, if we can't connect with that statement, I don't know what we can connect. You know, I feel like we just need to take a minute here. I feel like there's a few things that really get me hot and riled up and like upset. But one of the things is like, I think sometimes women, okay, if you're listening and your husband is like, well, all of our husbands are bomb.com for their own reasons. Yes, yes, yes. But some of you have husbands who, I don't know, are like their love language seems to be, you know, words of affirmation, like all the five, they're giving you gifts. They're doing the, you know, things that help around, like they're just phenomenal. Like, and they're verbal and they don't miss a beat with the work you're doing. And right, they shower you with, that's abnormal is my point. You have an abnormal man and be super grateful. We all should be grateful. I'm just saying, it's not the norm. And so I think a lot of us really can resonate with this feeling. I don't know if you can.
Right. And I think you're speaking about Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, available for individuals, couples, kids, I mean, wherever you look at it. And to have someone in your life, like your spouse, that can speak kind of all five of those and meet your needs is not the norm. But I would say those of us that have a spouse that speaks one or two really well, that's even opposite of ours, is in a place where we can point more quickly to the Lord and say, wow, I need those things. Because Joy, as she read in my journal, I mean, as we're reading in her bit here, but she says, is insecurity speaking to something deeper? So are we looking to our spouse to be something, do something that only the Lord can do? So that's kind of the other side of that coin. And she's unpacking our insecurity connected to who God really made us to be.
Yes. And I think she goes a little further. She hits at the main pain point, because if we were to be honest, and if we were to say, which we are going to be honest, because that's what we do. If we were to say, okay, on the average day, I don't feel super needy on the average day. On the average day, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. I'm not spent completely super just upset that he hasn't thanked me or noticed or whatever. That we know then that at some point we do get to this place where we're like, okay, I'm frustrated now. I feel alone. I feel unseen. I feel like you don't care. Like you don't notice, blah, 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 or you're not grateful, blah, 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 blah. So when we get to that point, she says that she's like, she notices my tank is empty and I'm looking for someone to fill it.
Right.
And so that's the truth. That or the point at which we have a decision to make, right? The last two previous episodes we talked about inner healing. It's like that same point where we have a decision to make. We notice, we can acknowledge, I'm depleted here. I've been giving, I'm going, I'm helping, I'm whatever, fill in the blank. And now I'm tired. Now, I'm tired of feeling like whatever. And so the kicker is she says, I'm looking in the wrong place. And that's the point at which we have, again, the opportunity to really decide what we're going to do with that feeling, because the feeling is it's valid to acknowledge I'm exhausted here. I've been going, I've been doing, helping, whatever you name it. And I'm spent now. And right. So now what are we going to do about it becomes right. The question,
Yeah. And I feel like getting to that place where we can admit that we're exhausted. This would be the raising hands portion, right? If you've ever felt that. And then to say something like, it's okay to go to bed at 7:45. I don't know if anyone's done that. In the last couple of weeks though, I've gone to bed at 7:45 because I'm really tired. And so staying up longer is not actually helping. But then I kind of catch a second wind and then I stay up later than I should again, right? So to say, hold up, let's go back to the basics. And for me, that's oftentimes sleep and rest and uninterrupted sleep as best we can. And then food, are you well fed? Are you comfortable? Can we kind of then deal with some things? If those things are out of whack, then we can get out of whack to process anything more deeply, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I'm depleted, I go, okay, I've perhaps, been too busy right now. Why am I depleted? I can't even fully unpack that until I've had some sleep
mm-hmm.
and lots of it.
Yeah. When I think of this, in a clear headspace,
right.
For us, again, that's why it's so important that we're listening to episodes like this one. Maybe you're feeling it right now and that's fine too. Keep listening. But also when we're not in it, so that we can remember this for when we do, or when we get there, is there are certain pillars of that basic, you're saying, basic care, how's my sleep? How's my eating? How's my input? What I typically say is input, output, and then health, how's my own well-being, right? So
right.
Oftentimes what I've noticed in myself and what I see in others is that oftentimes when we get to this place of, hello, anybody notice me? Like, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, my land. Like, oh, no. Yeah. Who needs that? Sure thing. Like, or whatever. Right. We just get in this place of like, I'm done. I'm like, I so need some sort of encouragement, some sort of anything. Right. Appreciation, notice, whatever you want to, whatever that is that oftentimes when we get to that point, we are not in a place where we've been personally caring for our souls. So typically I can point to every single time of that, of all the times I felt like this. And I don't know one where I could honestly say that, oh yeah, no, I was caring for my soul during that time or at that point. No, I would say I wasn't. I would say I was depleted myself. I was, my cup was empty, not just energy wise, but also my soul felt empty. I was not surrendering my heart to the Lord. I was not hearing for his voice, you know, through my day. I was not, connecting, you know, and intimate with the Lord. I was out of touch with who he is and who I am to him through his word. And, you know, that's where it goes wrong typically. And so I think it does us all so much good when we can go back to, like you're saying, these basics of how are we doing, like outside of, because here's what she says, I'm looking in the wrong place, right? Like here we are. And we can ask our husbands to give us all of the admiration, appreciation, thanks, and gratitude, and it won't actually heal or be the balm our hearts need and are longing for. Doesn't hurt, but it's not going to be what only Jesus can be for us. And like, duh, we know that, but we forget it.
So what I hear you saying is like, it's like a cute Band-Aid, you know, the one with the kitty cat on it or the Wonder Woman one, like they look super cute. We just slap it on there real quick and kind of forget about the owie underneath and the wound underneath. Cause we think it's so cute. But it's not actually healing the problem and healing our true need, right?
Right. Yeah.
So my husband and I have been married about 13 years. We just recently had a big breakthrough. I'd like to share it with you. Just intimately right here.
Just us.
Because you can feel, apparently joy, you know, can feel like unseen or maybe, you know, too much on your plate or too much repetition of things, like all the people that need to eat every 3 hours, like, right? And at some point you just are like, I mean, I don't know, just tell me what to make you for dinner and I'll make it, right? I just don't want to have the decision to make it. So our big breakthrough was like, I needed more time at night to rest and I was depleted in figuring out what to have for meals. And I wanted to be like given a gift or be treated, you know, in a way that would meet my need at that moment. So I just told Mark, you know, at any one time, you just want to make my day. You just call me and be like, babe, can I bring home tacos for dinner? And that's like changed my world. And so we kind of laughed about it. And then he texted me 2 minutes later, we were already at home. He goes, babe, can I bring home tacos for dinner tonight? I was like, yes, that's not actually a joke, but yes, you could do that. Cause then I don't have to make those decisions. I get a little more rest, you know, less prep time in the kitchen. I feel like he brought me a gift, which one of my love languages is gifts because I'm such a visual person. So like a tactile hold on to thing, you know? So we have, it's taken us 13 years, but we now know tacos are really the key to a happy marriage.
A great marriage.
We've had them 3 times this week. I love it. different every time. Keeps it exciting.
That's so awesome. I love it. Yes, that's super important. And you know what? I do think too, what you just said is so helpful because what I hear you saying, Kelly, is that when you discovered, like, here's what I actually need. Okay. Because on one hand, when we're reading this post and talking and having this conversation, we can hear like, girl, you don't need any. You shouldn't need one drop of, you know, gratitude from your husband to be happy. Okay. That's not what I'm actually wanting you to hear. Okay.
Right.
It's not, I don't think it's bad at all that we can say after all these, like, if you want to look at pillars or think of like different pillars of like our soul care, right? If after we've acknowledged, right? Or maybe we just acknowledge and get to this point, it's a gift from the Lord, like, okay, red flag, like, stop, hold up, look at all these things. How are we doing? It might be when we do that, it is, you know what? I am now seeing that I am really tired. I am crabby as ever, and I need more rest. What could we do about that? You know, or maybe I am so far removed from the Lord that I'm not even seeing him at all through my day. And I feel so like off spiritually that I know now that I need to get back or whatever. Right. It could too be right. That I think like there is beauty in us being honest after though, we know like, okay, I am caring for my soul. I'm not tired. I am actually like inputting and outputting in a healthy, balanced way or whatever. I can have that conversation with my husband, right? Like, I don't think it's bad that we can say, or that we would say, you know what? It would help me if you'd bring tacos home once in a while. If you think about it on your way home, it would be really helpful if you could text me and, you know, ask if you could stop and get some food. That's not like, okay, right? Do you understand? Like on one extreme of the Christian culture, I think we can be like, you don't need to say anything to him to get any kind of appreciation or help, or that's not healthy in my viewpoint. And I don't think that Jesus is saying that when we look at the Gospels and when we see the word, like, I don't think he's saying that. I think he values our authentic, honest place, and he's there with us, and he invites us to grow together in more unity in those places. So, oh, banana, see my brain, this is where I go.
No, I get you. And see, I have this visual aid right here. Sorry. This is our dance, right? This is how we figure it out.
Yes.
So one of them says, honestly, to list out what ways are we feeding our soul and caring for our deep needs? And then in what ways are we serving or giving? And for me, that could be my own personal Bible study, getting to worship, talking with other friends about spiritual issues, being honest and real with them. Output would be serving my hubs, making him lunch, helping the kiddos, right? Serving at church, having eyes and looking out for people who need help in a different season. So you notice that those are like equal in this very fancy drawing. If you're not on YouTube, jump over there, subscribe. You'll get fun drawings like this and we get a wave at you. But it's that balance to look at those things and to make sure that it's not all on one side in the output, but that we are intentionally putting things into the input area so that we have something to give. And I find that if I am unequally balanced and put a ton into the output area, then I'm more likely to be depleted and feeling like, oh gosh, does anyone see I'm doing this laundry? Does anyone see I'm doing this writing? Or, you know, we're still in campaign season here that I'm designing these ads and doing these things. If I stay equally balanced and I make sure that I'm centered and inputting into what my soul needs, then I'm not going to get out of balance.
Yes.
As easily. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. It goes back to, Joy mentions this in her post, and it goes back to what we talked about, I think two episodes ago, maybe one, in Genesis chapter 16, when Hagar is a slave, she's being mistreated. She runs away from the situation. Then she has this encounter with the Lord, and she says to the Lord, she says, you are the God who sees me. And she said, I have now seen the one who sees me in verse 13. Mm. And so that's at the core of our being. And if we don't have that solidified in us, we'll endlessly be searching for anyone to see us. And because we want to matter, we want to know that every campaign postcard and the laundry and the yard work and the whatever, diapers and the meals and whatever that looks like,
right,
that it matters to people and that we aren't being taken advantage of and that it's for something. And I love how, you know, we always then will have that to stand on and stand firm. And that's where the security comes from, or lack of, right, in insecurity, where we know that we matter. We know that we're seen. And mm-hmm. if, you know, when that is settled, it's like that. I always give that analogy. If you've been with us for a while, you've heard me talk about the ice cream cake or whatever dessert is your favorite dessert. Then like the God is the cake. Like it's always good. He always sees us. He's always with us. It's always amazing. And like our relationships with our husband or our kids or friends or whoever, there's like sprinkles or icing, like it's bonus. But like the right. cake is the cake. Like we already know who we are and that he completely is enamored with us and thinks that everything we do is so significant because it's for him. It's for his purposes. And he created us uniquely for his purpose. And like, he loves us. He lavishes on us in that way. But so if we have that solidified, it does change the need for anything additional that we have.
Right.
It's like, yeah. I love her words in this post. Yeah.
Right. So good. I agree. I was drawing a picture of a Dairy Queen cake just so that I'm reminded by that, because it is true. And if we get those out of order, we just want sprinkles. Like a friend of mine, we went shopping yesterday and she found a bag of just the marshmallows from Lucky Charms. And I mean, I don't know that any of us would really turn that down, because who has not sorted through the Lucky Charms just for the marshmallows, right?
Right.
And she thought, oh, this is going to be terrific. So she got the bag of those. And I'm not sure if I enabled her, but I cheered her on, you know. But if we just feast on those, then we're missing the greater part, which is that cake and that foundation. I love it when you said, when we have that settled, then everything else falls into line.
Yeah. And Joy, she says it so beautifully too. She says, from this posture of knowing, any admiration we receive from others is then just extra. Like, right. So we come at this topic, every topic, from this posture of being firmly rooted and knowing that we are seen and that we matter and we are of value, great value to the Lord. And it's from that posture then that we can even look at this topic or anything else. And that's when then she kind of gives a little bit of other input on the topic, which I love. And she says, so then we can communicate honestly from this posture of knowing who we are already seen and known and loved. We can then communicate honestly, centered in the love of Jesus. She says, I then can approach others honestly about my feelings without neediness or insecurity. So then it frees us up to then share in an honest way that isn't coming from a place of insecurity, but just honesty, and then giving space for other people to do what they would like with that information. And that feels so different, you know?
So give me an example of that.
Oh man. Well, so I can share with my husband. I'm trying to think of an example right now. Okay. Think of an example. So I got one. So I can be so firmly rooted in who I am in Christ, my identity in Christ, right? I understand who I am, what we're talking about now, that literally nothing can change my identity in Christ, and that to him, I am seen, I am known, I am loved, right? And at the same time, then I can be in bed at night and my husband can be on his phone and I can feel the desire to connect with him. And so I can communicate with him from this place that I already know who I am and that I matter and I'm loved. I can share with him that, you know, when he's on his phone at night or after the kids are in bed, I feel disconnected with him because we haven't connected yet. And so I would love to connect with him.
Oh, great.
And that would require him not being on his phone. Can we talk about that? You know, kind of thing. That's just, right. A, you know, or like, if he's been gone in a long stint for work, which happens like, I don't know, every week, you know, I can, and if it's been, an oddly crazy difficult time with the kids or who knows, like some, or I haven't been feeling well or whatever, from this place of knowing who I am, knowing that I'm seen and everything I do matters to the Lord and all that, I can come to him and honestly share, like, I feel alone this week with everything I've had going on and how I've been feeling. Do you have, you know, can we talk about that? Or like when you come home this weekend, can we talk about what it might look like? Cause I'm really struggling. You know what I mean? So it just looks different than I'm so mad that you're always gone for work. I feel so alone here. I've da 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 da, right? That's a place which I've totally done. That's a place of just like, I am so not happy. I'm struggling. I have no clue where God is in this or who I am right now. I need you to affirm me so that I feel a whole lot better about this situation because it sucks, you know? That's
right.
Yeah.
No, thank you for those examples. Because I think it can be a thin line to go from your first example. I feel disconnected. I feel these things like phone use after kids are in bed and that versus accusatory. Why are you always on that thing? Blah, blah, blah. Right. Yeah. It can be a thin line. And so really, really unpacking, I feel this way. And then leaving the results kind of up to him to choose to help you solve that, or to change his behavior or to not, but to leave that choice up to him. So please tell me in the future, we can like unpack a solid conflict resolution, you know, sesh. I would love to do that.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. So this last one I love, spread admiration and joy, seriously. And it links into her wife's step at the end. So she said, empowered by our relationship with Jesus and the right perspective to build up other relationships, we can experience the freedom to dish out extravagant amounts of admiration without waiting for someone else to do it first. Now, I'll tell you, this is my secret to like if I'm having a bad day or if I'm kind of sad or I'm starting to get out hats and streamers to throw a pity party. Just tuck those away. Okay. No hats and streamers. I go do something for somebody else. And I'm like, Lord, show me who needs to experience your joy or your grace today. Like, take a coffee to a friend, bake some cookies for the neighbors, do something for someone else, because then the focus gets off me. Because otherwise, like, seriously, we can like zone in and just have the focus on us. So if I do that, it helps like, reorient me and share some joy. Yeah. And she goes on to say some of the benefits of that. But out of Luke 6:38 here, it says Jesus's words, because they're in red in my Bible. So I don't know if it's the same way in your Bible, but he says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be pouring out onto your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So to give goodness and joy to others. And we don't do it so that it'll come back to us, but I'm saying, Lord is saying, hey, one of the benefits is I will return that to you. And that happens because when I do something for someone else, then I'm full of joy.
Yeah. And notice he will do it for us. Right. Yeah. That's the thing.
I love why we're friends, because you take me back to the word.
Ditto. Friends,
so her wife's step was send a text expressing admiration for 5 people who need to hear it today.
Yes.
This leads me into my last crazy question. You always let me ask you anything here at the end.
Yeah.
So I want to know, paper or Kindle?
Oh, paper. Oh,
okay.
You know, I'm visual like you, and I need to see and, I like this, my Bible right here is very, first off, it's the size, it can fit in my purse, which I need. But you know, I have to underline and highlight and post-its and no Kindle here.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Depends on how big your purse is, I guess. Because no, I always have a pretty big purse. So yeah, I would say paper too. And so when she says send 5 texts, I hear you, Joy. But for me, that's probably going to look like send 5 notes.
And right? I love you because you do yesterday, do that.
Yesterday, I just got some new note cards. So like I have a special drawer and now my kids know about it too.
That's and awesome.
They will write little notes for people and just send them. So I'm probably going to continue to send those via the mail, regardless of the cost of mail, because that means a lot to me. So
I love that. I want to be cool like that. I want to be good. I am like, I will audio message people way more than I will send a note. And I want to send notes. I want to be cool. I want to be good. To me, I love getting them, but I'm so bad at sending them.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, it's fine. I'll be fine, right?
Yeah. And that doesn't make you good, by the way. Each of us does it in our own way. And I've been the recipient of those. And girl, you keep bringing those. I love it.
Yeah. Well, not good. I just, you know, like in my head, oh, I would love to be so cool like that.
Right.
Anyway, I know I won't be though. So it's fine.
Honey, I'm not going to let you off the hook there. That does not make you cool if you do that.
No,
I love you. Say these words with me. I'm cool the way God made me.
I'm changing it. I'm changing what I just said.
Okay.
What's it called in the legal world? Recanting? Is that what that's called?
I don't even know.
Something?
Yeah.
I am cool in that way that I like to send audio messages via or versus cards.
Right.
And you're cool. It's a different kind of cool. And right. I want to be cool with cards. I want to be the card cool. And I'm not, I'm a different cool and I'm okay with that.
It's like a new pair of sunglasses, you know, like you wear this kind of sunglasses. Yes. I wear this kind. It's cool. You can trade them out.
I love your sunglasses.
Right. I love your sunglasses. So let's keep sharing our sunglasses. Let's do that.
Yes. You look so good in yours. And I really think mine are great too. You know? Yeah.
I love this. Great.
Ladies, we love you. We love you. Thank you for being with us. Again, every week we send out an email. If you're not on that list, head over to wifelikeme.com, sign up for our freebies, and then you're on the email list. So boom. And then every Friday you get some love from me and everything that we've been putting out the week. So do that. We love you. We'll see you back here next week for an all new episode. So Kelly, thank you so much for love being it. With us.
Oh goodness. Thanks for joining us, wives. So
we'll see you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Friend, have you ever thought about starting a podcast? If so, Spotify's got a platform that lets you make and start a podcast so easily and then distribute it everywhere and even earn some money. It's all in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. And then you can distribute it wherever podcasts are heard. Even video podcasts are available on Spotify. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. But best of all, it's totally free and there's no catch. Ever since we've been using Spotify for Podcasters at A Wife Like Me, we've been able to triple our reach, reaching wives across the globe. And it's so simple. Again, we do this right from our computer. And again, you can do it from your phone. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or just go to www.spotify.com/podcasters. Again, www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.